Good morning, Otagaville. We are so glad that you are here with us this morning. I hope that you have had a blessed week this week. We're just excited to be in here this morning. We got a couple of them that we're missing, but we still got a great number of about 26, 27 people. So we praise the Lord for that. Everybody is socially distanced in here and masked up, so we are ready to spend some time with God this morning. I'm so glad that if you're watching from home, that if you don't feel safe yet, please keep in mind that we are doing two services here at Otagaville Baptist. We are having a 9:30 mass mandatory, and we're also having an 11 o'clock service also, which is mask encouraged, but it's optional. It's up to the individual. So glad that you are here this morning. A couple of them that I would like to run down on the prayer list that I'd like for you to remember this week is Mr. Sam Robertson, Debbie Robertson's husband, is having neck surgery tomorrow. Please pray for him and her and the doctors, everybody attending. Also, Miss Debbie's friends, Miss Pat Moss, is battling some cancer, so please remember her. Michelle McMichael had a pacemaker put in this past week. Got a report from Jerry this morning that she is doing good, so please can remember her in your prayers also. Benny, back consultation tomorrow with the doctors. Hopefully they're going to get him an appointment set, and so he'll be able to get some relief. He's not here this morning, so remember him in your prayers too. He was a little bit hurting this morning. Also, their son-in-law, Scott Hall, had an accident at work this week where he broke both of his heels in a job accident. Please remember him in your prayer, and Bethany, and all those grandkids, those babies too. So, also remember the international paper workers. I know they're starting up machines right now, putting in a lot of extra hours. Please remember them and their families. Also remember our weather situation. We have kind of an interesting thing going on this week where we have two hurricanes coming up in the Gulf that we normally don't see a whole lot, but please remember those in your prayer, those affected in your prayers too. And also please remember the Boyd Hodge family. He was Wade's co-worker that had had an accident at work and passed away. Please remember them all in your families, and I'm sure any unspokens that we might have. But I tell you what, I am glad that we are in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope that you're feeling good. I am ready. We are ready to sing some songs and some praises. But before we do, let's open up with a word of prayer this morning. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we just come to you right now, God, and say, thank you, Lord, for the sovereign God that you are, Lord. Lord, God, I'm so thankful for each and every person that is in here this morning, Father. I pray, God, a special prayer of protection over each and every one of them, Lord. As we go throughout our days, Father God, as we walk in your steps, dear Lord, help everything that we do, Father, be able to resemble you, Lord. Lord, we are in this world, God, and we're right where you put us, but Lord, you have called us to be set apart. You have called us to be different, Father. And we know that, Lord. We see your word and what it means to us and how we apply it to our lives, God. I pray, Lord, that you will just be with us, Father God, as people searching out you, Lord, on a daily, minute-by-minute basis. I ask, God, that you be with each and every person that we covered this morning on our prayer list, that you be with each and every family, Father God, and you cover them, Lord. I pray, God, that you be with Leslie and her songs, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that you be with Trey and his word. And, Father, be with me, Lord, as I try to deliver the message that you want me to deliver, not Lord, and not my own. Let it be yours, Father God. I pray, Lord, that everything we say and everything we do in this sanctuary and your house this morning, Lord, it glorifies you. Father, we are thankful for this wonderful day that you have given us, Father God. Thank you, God, for all the blessings that you give us. And Father, we just ask, God, that you just please watch over, protect us, Father God. Keep us all healthy, Lord, so we can keep returning to your house, Father. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. We are super excited that you are here this morning. Sister Leslie, come on up here and bless our hearts with some songs. And I hope if you're at home, you can always sing along at home. You probably can't get, well, you probably might be able to see the words, right? Maybe? Anyway, but...
sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us Is first, And the verse that goes with that is, God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Just a quick reminder of where we were last week. We looked at Isaiah 41:10, and we said, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I shared a little bit of the stories that I've been and some of the places I've been and some of the situations that the Lord has put me in, I guess you could say. And this particular time, I was in Tennessee, just a quick reminder, and I had a broken fuel line on my truck. And all alone at a truck stop and sleeping overnight, it was so cold, so very cold. I have never been that cold before in my entire life. And all the hotels were full. And the next morning, I see this great big old yellow Peterbilt pull up a few spots down from me. It was a car carrier, a nine-car hauler. You've seen them go up down the highway. And this older lady got out, older than my mother, and out come three of the biggest dogs you've ever seen. And one was a Rottweiler. Not a Rottweiler. One was a pit bull. Looked like it weighed about 550 pounds. And one was a standard poodle, and it looked like it weighed about 375 pounds. And the other one was a Doberman Pinscher, and it was very, very big as well. Of course, I'm exaggerating because at the moment they were very big, and they actually looked bigger the closer I got to them. anyway, so I'm fiddling around, working on my truck, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. Here I am, you know, I'm in your hands all the time, but Lord, right now, especially in your hands. And the lady comes out and goes in and lets her dogs go, and they smell of me while I'm trying to work on my truck, and I'm like, oh, these big dogs and everything. And then she hollers across the way, where are you headed? And I said, well, I'm headed to Montgomery. She said, well, that's where I'm going. Why don't you ride with me? And I said, well, Lori, is this how I'm getting home? You know, I don't particularly need to be one-on-one with a lady that's not my wife. And about that time, she hollers back at me, I'm an old lady, I'm not going to mess with you. And I thought, okay, there you go. Lord, there's the answer for that. So I called my dad. He says, get in the truck with her. So I said, all right. I said, ma'am, if you'll give me about 10 minutes to get my stuff together, I said, I'll be glad to ride with you. And she said, well, come on. So I get my stuff together, and I go over to the side of the truck, and I'm about to climb in the passenger side door. The window's down, and she hollers at me, hold on a minute. Wait, don't come in that door. This dog will eat you up. That was very reassuring to me. She said, you're going to have to come in my door, the driver's side door, because if you come in that door, the pit bull will think you belong. But if you come in the other door, he'll think you're an intruder. So I think, Lord, I don't know what I'm in right now. I have no idea what I'm getting into. So I climb in that side of the truck. And she says, it's okay, just push them out of the way. Because, you know, curious dogs are going to be smelling of whoever's coming in their territory. And that truck was definitely their territory. So I climb in and I look, and there's no seat in the passenger side. There's a little three-drawer thing like you would have in your bathroom, a little plastic three-drawer thing with a TV bungee strap to the top of it and a DVD player and a bunch of stuff, and there's no chair. She says, oh, I've got to get you the chair. So she climbs back in the sleeper berth back there, and she pulls out one of these ball game chairs. And she unfurls the ball game chair and sets it down. She says, I take the chair out because it makes more room for the dogs. I said, okay, that makes sense. I'm not used to having riders with me. I said, I can tell. So we get, here I am, getting in this big old Peterbilt with these three dogs and this very eccentric lady. And I'm sitting in the ball game chair. Got my little cup holder, my little water with me, a little Snickers bar, you know, and I'm sitting there. And here we go. We're taking off. It's an 18-speed Peterbilt. So she's pounding these gears like no tomorrow. I never seen a little lady just pounding gears like that in something like that. It was quite a sight to see, because she would change gears and the dogs would get under her feet. So she would grab an empty DVD case off the dash and beat the dogs back. Get back, get out of my way, and change gears again. I thought, Lord, are we going to make it home? You know, are we going to make it home, Lord? What are we doing? And after about 10 or 15 miles and pulling some big hills and changing gears coming through Tennessee, things began to settle down a little bit. And when I say settle down, that means the pit bull that weighed about 900 pounds at the time, looked like it, was laying on my left foot. The standard poodle, who was adult sized but still just a pup in puppy mode, was climbing up in my lap, and the Doberman Pinscher was laying on the bed behind me, licking my ears. So here we are going down the road, and this lady is a trucker, okay? And, you know, my grandma never talked like this lady did. Let's just say that. So we're going down the road, and I thought, Lord, this is an experience. I got to just soak it in. I got to soak it in. I got to tell people this. So anyway, so we're going along, and she's telling me all kinds of stuff. Then she hands me her cell phone, and she says, I just keyed up a video on her something while she's changing gears. She's got her phone beating dogs back. They're licking me in the ear. Okay, all this going on, right? And she pulls up this video. She says, watch this video. I said, okay. And I watch this video, and it's her, and it's on YouTube, and there was a TV show at one time. And it was called, I can't think of the name of it now, but if you go to YouTube, those of you out there with your TV, with your computer, don't do it right now, wait till the service is over. But whenever you get a chance, go to grandma who lives with two bears and tigers. Okay? Google that and you'll come up with this lady. And I'm watching it, I'm like, and I look over at her and she's just a grinning and just pounding through those gears. She says, "Yep, that's me." I said, "You have tigers at your house?" She said, "Yep, I've got two of them right now." I said, "No, you don't. Yeah, are you serious?" "Oh, yeah, I have tigers. How do you get tigers?" So this lady lived with tigers, okay? She had two tigers in these big enclosures. One was a white tiger, and she's had multiple tigers over the years. They'll die or whatever. She feeds them old horses who have died. She feeds them food from Walmart that's past service, but they get it. And so we began to have a conversation about those types of things. She lives in her own zoo, basically. I said, "Where do you get these things from?" She said, "Well, people get them as a kitten, and they raise them up, and then they get a little too big to handle." I said, "You reckon so?" And so they call me, and I'll take them. And she had two black bears at her house. She had a 2,500, 3,000-pound Beefmaster bull at her house. That just kind of roams around the yard. Dozens of dogs, two tigers, bobcat, other all kind of exotic creatures and animals. And I felt like I was riding in Noah's Ark at the same time, that big old thing pulling all that stuff. But anyway, we began to talk, and I said, "Okay, Lord, it's a pretty good ride from here to Nashville back home, and so here we go." So she began to tell me a little bit about her husband, and they used to drive together. And he passed away a couple of years from cancer. And she began to talk about how she was questioning God about all this kind of thing and how her husband suffered and all this kind of stuff. And she said, "But the Lord, you know, God has taken care of me," and blankety, blankety, blank, 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 because that's the way she talked. And then I told her, I said, "Well, you know, it's kind of funny." She said, "Well, what do you do?" She said, "Have you been doing this very long, driving the truck?" I said, "Just a few years." "What'd you do before that?" "Well, I was a youth pastor for 10 years. "Oh, well," her language changed a little bit then, and she began to apologize and say, "Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk like that. I've just drifted away from God and all this kind of, I've just drifted away from him through my husband's sickness." And I said, "Look, you don't have to apologize to me for how you talk. I'm not the one judging anyway." And she said, "You're right, you're right, you're right." Which opened the door for us to be able to share, for me to be able to share the gospel. And I shared a very clean, precise gospel presentation that the Lord laid on my heart that day about Jesus' life and death and burial and resurrection and how he's coming again. And we then all of a sudden, here I am with this lady and these dogs licking me and all over the top. And the pit bull would adjust himself, you know, all the time, and he would get under the gear shift, and she'd have to beat him back with a DVD case and all this kind of stuff. And here I am going down this traveling circus going, "Lord, okay, here we go." And then we begin a discussion on eschatology, on end times, and how Jesus is coming back one day and all this kind of stuff. And then she begins to tell me about, and you'll hear this, and I've heard this many times, people will share about their conversion experience, about when they accepted Christ, or they may not say that. They'll talk about some type of an experience that they've had. And I told her, I said, "Well, you know, it's not always about an experience. It's about a life change. It's about what has God done in your life." And so we began to talk about a lot of that. And anyway, through our trip home, we talked about creation, Noah's Ark, and the flood, which I felt like I was riding it again. And we talked about eschatology, and we talked about the love of Christ. And by the end of that trip, I had made a friend, and she had made a friend, and she began to tell me other things about her family and her daughters and her son and all the things that they've been going through, and how that, you know, she was mad at God, but she understands, you know, that not everything's going to be easy in this life. And, you know, what kind of an impact did I have on her life? I don't know. I still text her on occasion, say, "Hey, how you doing?" Mainly because she told me, if you're ever in Texas, because she lived in Terrell, Texas, if you're going by Texas, give me a call. I'll show you around. I was like, all right. So I may be flying to Texas this week and driving something back, and if I do, I'm going to call her up and see if she's home and go see those tigers and ask her about her relationship with the Lord and how it's going. But the reason I don't know the direction that God's given me completely for this moment that I have in the service. I know that all that's going on, it's hard to do youth ministry right now with all that's happening, because you plan an event and things get canceled, and then, you know, you're having to do these masks and all this kind of stuff. It's just difficult to do. But I'm looking for God's direction on this moment in the service, and I've taken too much time. But I just ask for your prayer in that. Pray for our youth ministry here, and pray for me as God's led me here to help direct and guide that. But I just want to be an uplift in this moment. I want to share some of my shortcomings, some of the things that I may have done wrong, some things I may have done right in my experience in life, so that maybe you can be encouraged to go and to share in whatever kind of situation God's put you in. Because I've been in some strange ones. And if you want to know more about how to raise tigers and how to, just ask me. I know. She's told me. She told me all about it. So anyway, but thank y'all. Thank you very much.
You know, Trey, I really enjoy listening to those little stories, and I go, man, at the places he must have been in. But you know what? You took that and you looked for a place, you looked for a door, an opening to share the love of Christ and to share your personal experience and your testimony is what is so wonderful. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11, is where we're going to open up this morning. And today, got a little bit of scripture, but I really wanted to put it all into perspective. I needed to start with Mark 11, 1 through 11, okay? Just so I could set the scene for you in exactly what's happening. Today's message title is basically, Where's the Fruit? And I'd already had it before yesterday. But I saw something this week that spoke to me when it says, are you nothing but leaves? And today I would like to ask you the personal question, where is the fruit in your life? And that's what we're going to look at. Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 1 through 11. Please follow along in your Bibles as I read, okay? Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say that the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. So they went and found a colt inside the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. 11 says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let's open up with a prayer. Father God, your word 2,000 years ago to today, Father, is so alive. And God, over these next few minutes, God, help us to take your word, Lord, and to look at it, and Lord, help us to apply it. Father, we know that this was your last week on earth. We already know, Lord, you knew everything that was going to happen, Father God, but you knew it had to be done. You sent your son Jesus for us, Lord. I pray, God, as we look at your word, Father, each and every one of us in here this morning, God, and everyone watching at home will evaluate the fruit in our lives. Father, be with us, God, as we study your word. Lord, lead, guide, and direct us. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. As I can already tell you that this has been one interesting year so far. And I don't have to tell you that because you already know it. I hope that as you drove in this morning, you would notice that I found a Jesus 2020 sign. That I found one. It was actually after my sermon last week, I received a text message that said, if you would like one, I will be happy to purchase it for you and deliver it to you at TNT. I thought, well, bless your heart. Thank you. So that's what I received this week. And I thought, what better place to put it than right smack in front of our church to show who we really want in charge. Amen? Would you agree with that? That couldn't have been a better place to put it. So I stuck it down. Let's hope it doesn't get stolen. But I put it right out there in front. I hope everybody saw it this morning. We are getting closer to the elections, and I know that I want everybody to be in prayer for who they're voting for. We've got some of the county stuff, the city stuff coming up this week, and then, of course, our presidential election. Please pray. Pray about it is what I would encourage you to do before you make any decisions. We are, therefore, led by Jesus Christ. If you remember the three things we teach in VBS and the three things that has probably stuck with you since you were a child was the ABCs of Christ, which is admit, believe, confess. Those are the three. But you know what? I always thought that there should have been a follow-up after that. There ought to have been a go out and make disciples of everyone you possibly can. It's not just as simple as admit, believe, and confess. Then there's an action that follows. That's where we see the fruit in our lives. Amen? You agree with that? Yes, you do. But look at what Matthew 7:20 says. By their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7:20. Jesus' last week on earth, and we know what's happened, but look at where it leads us. He comes in, look at what 11 says. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Look at what 12 says right there, and we're going to go 12 through 17. The next day, I'm in Mark 11:12-17. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. We see Jesus get upset. So as Jesus was walking up to the temple, what did he see? What do you reckon he saw? He saw probably elaborate buildings. He saw elaborate rituals going on. He saw dignified leaders. But what he did not see was a real devotion to God. He didn't see it. Israel's religion had become just something they did. No commitment to God. They had completely warped it. They've turned it into where people are buying and selling. And with Passover week, there was probably thousands of people there. They were driving up their prices, probably, if I had to guess. You know, and they were taking it, oh, big sale coming in. Big sale. Thieves, money changers, people taken advantage of. Look at what 18 through 22 says. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out to the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, The fig tree you cursed has withered. And look at what Jesus says to him. Have faith in God. You think when God looks at us, does he see the fruit of our lives? Now think about that for a second. And especially like, just like Trey gave you a real honest, Trey could have easily gone along with the flow in that situation, as some people are guilty of a lot of times. Could have gone with the flow and just been, oh, well, not today. She's giving me a ride home. I'm going to keep my mouth shut before I get thrown out of the truck. But he didn't. And that was something that crossed your mind. It would have any person here, when somebody's doing you a favor, should I really ruffle the, what's the word? Should I really rock the boat right now? Should I really say something? Is this really the right time, God? It's always the right time. It is always the right time. What God looks for us in the fruit, I'm going to give you five things this morning. The fruit of a holy life. And I'll back that up. The world needs to be shown how we are to be as Christians, is what it needs to be. The fruit of a humble service. No job is ever too small. And think about that. No job is ever too small. I wish I would have had, when I told the story several weeks back, it's been a while now, when I told the story of Curtis Jackson helping me with the ladder, that's what I was replying to. No job is ever too small. No matter how big and mighty you might be as a leader in the church, a leader at your work, no job is ever too small. It's never too small. Always be ready. The fruit of a personal witness? Are you glorifying God in all that you say and do? Think about that. What about the fruit of a powerful faith? The fruit of a powerful faith. To know that God has us. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Psalms 23:4 says, think about this, Psalm of David. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think about everything that David must have been through. Think about your walk and what's brought you to this point. All the ups and downs, all the trials, all the tribulations, all the breakdowns on the road. Is our lives glorifying that fruit? Last week I spoke to you on, or 2 weeks ago I spoke to you on communication. Then last week we spoke on taming the tongue. And wouldn't it be just so right, but just to follow up with, is there fruit in your life today? What Jesus saw that day at the temple courts upset him. I could only imagine it did. When we come into God's house, we come in all one mind. Only thing I want somebody thinking about when they walk through these doors is focusing on Jesus. Focusing on Jesus Christ. What about the last one? What about the fruit of a loving spirit? Would you believe me if I told you, and I actually looked this up because I was actually a little surprised with it. Who remembers who George Foreman was? Everybody. He was a boxer. Did you also realize that he was a pastor? Also, he's a minister. Ordained, has a church in Texas, still preaches from what I understand. It gave the dates. It was way back, but I mean, he was still boxing. And the announcer had asked him, how do you do both at the same time? He said, well, I'll hold my Bible in my left and I'll jab you with my right if you want to see it. That's our question today. Trey Jones? How do you be a hotshot driver and a Christian at the same time? How do you work for Sell My IP and be a Christian at the same time? How do you be a school teacher and be a Christian at the same time? It's the fruit of our spirits. Trey, you nailed it today on the head with that story. And Trey and I didn't converse at all about what we were speaking on. It's how we glorify God in all that we say and that we do. That's exactly what's going on. When Jesus went into the temple court, he saw everything was wrong. He fixed it. He said, no, this is my Father's house. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. We're missing the entire devotion to God. Where's the fruit? When Jesus comes up to you one day, when your life is over and you stand before him, are you going to be nothing but leaves? That's a real question. Where is it in your life that you're glorifying him? Where is it that your life that you're producing fruit? Look at what 23 through 25 says right there. He says, truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt it in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. He's already telling you a piece of the puzzle. He's already telling you, you better come at me with a pure heart when you do it. If you've got something else on your mind, something distracting you, something holding you back, something keeping you from not being fruitful, you might need to consider that verse right there. Let it go. Let it go. When the world is at its worst, we as God's people need to be at our best. Did that make sense? It did, right? Look at what, and I ain't going to ask, you probably don't even have to flip a page. Look at what 12, 30, and 31 says. In Mark 12, 30 and 31, he says, everybody there? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Man. My prayer, I'm going to be completely honest with y'all, 100% right here. We finish this, I do the next service. I'm usually pretty much one of the last ones to come back and shut everything down, run up the ACs and lock all the doors and make sure everything's secured. And then I leave. And I get into my truck and I normally will sit right there and I'll pray. I'll say, Lord, I want to be better this week. Not that I've done something bad. I want to be better always. I always do. I want to preach a better sermon every week. Every single week. I want to preach a better sermon. Lord, help me. Give me words to preach a better sermon, Lord. I don't think there's never an end to this. There's never a cap. That's the beauty of it. You can't never grow close enough to Jesus. Keep going with it. And the last one I will say to myself, as I start my week, Father God, I want to glorify you in all that I do. I want to do my best to glorify you. Last question I'll leave you with. When your time on this earth is through and you stand before Jesus, will he see the fruit or is he going to see the leaves? Is your question today. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we just come before you now, Father God. We are all sinners, Lord, saved by grace through faith in you. Father, I pray, God, as we start our weeks, Lord, may everything we do glorify your name. Lord, help us to be fruitful, Lord. Help us, Father God, to keep everything that we taught, to have the fruit of a holy life, to have the fruit of a loving spirit, to have the fruit of humble service, to have the fruit of a personal witness, God, and to have the fruit of a powerful faith. Lord, help us to use our words, God, not only our in our actions, Lord, in all that we say, Father God. Help us, Father God, to have the faith that you did, Lord, to be able to take a stand like you did. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Father, for all the wonderful blessings, for this wonderful temple that we have, God. Lord, it is your house, Lord. And when we come in here, Lord, we want you to be our all in all, our one-on-one. Lord, may everything we do, Father, please you. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. There again, I mention everyone that I mentioned on our prayer list. And Father, please be with each and every one of them. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your name. Amen. As Leslie gets ready to come and sing our hymn of invitation, think about this week as you cut your iPad off or cut your phone off or as you drive home from this building. Remember that prayer. Pray it with your spouse, the one next to you, your friend, whoever you might have came to church with. Pray it together and say, Lord, help us all to be better this week as we glorify you, as we just glorify you through our speech, through our actions, through our words. You know, it's appropriate, Leslie, that we follow up when we did the kids communicating and then taming the tongue. You can't help but follow up and say, Lord led me right to it this week. It was easy. I mean, it went right to it. He said, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit is what we really need to be concentrating on. The fruit in our lives. May God bless each and every one of you. I hope you have a blessed week. Thank you for watching this morning.